Jonah chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. I say it practically every Sunday, but Father, I mean it every Sunday. Without this book, I would not know about Jesus. I would not know I needed to be saved. I would not known how to raise my family, pick my wife. God, thank you so much for thy word. And Father, we thank you for this church that you've planted here in Reading, and our pastor that you've led here to lead us. Now this morning as he comes, I pray that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead of him, using this morning. For our sake, we need to hear from heaven today. And Father, if there is one in this room that does not know about salvation from hell, that today I pray they would get that settled in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the warning. Make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off during the service, we will not know who it is until the service is over. Because as we get up to leave, you'll be permanently frozen in the seat where you're now sitting. And everyone will go, their phone went off in the service. And you'll be there until next Sunday. And so please, just make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that. I'm going to ask now that you sit real still and listen carefully. It's Lord's Supper Sunday, and it's almost noon already, which means we're panicking. We're trying to figure out how's the preacher going to get a two-hour sermon in the next 30 seconds. It ain't going to happen. But anyway, I just want you to listen very carefully. I'm here to announce to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that the God of wrath, the God of holiness, the God of judgment, the God of chastisement is also the God of a second chance. Verse number 1, Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Think about that this morning. You know where Jonah is, where the story of Jonah, right? How many believe what the Bible says? Believe all of it. Hold your hand up. Good. How many believe everything the Bible says is true? Would you hold your hand up? How many of you believe that Jonah swallowed the whale? Hold your hand up. No, folks, no. No. That's what we're going to do this afternoon when church is over. We're going to go swallow the whale. Wherever it is, we'll eat it all. Jonah was told by God to go to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. Assyria was decimating the nation of Israel. The Syrians were a brutal people. They hated the people of God. They came and conquered a city. They'd go in and take all the leaders in the city out, cut their heads off and put them on a stick and line the street of the city to that the road that led to that city with their heads. The Assyrians were a brutal people, and they had a particular hatred for the Jews. God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and tell them all to get right with God. I'm going to kill every one of them. Now he's got to go to the capital city of the nation that hates the Jews and tell them to get right with God. And initially, Jonah says, yes, sir, but then turns around and tries to run to the other side of the world and get away from God. Now that is stupid. You cannot get away from God. But he just happened to have the right amount of money, and he just happened to find a ship that was going to the known part of the other side of the world at the time. And he got in the ship and he started sailing, and a storm came up, and, well, you know what happened. They had to cast Jonah over the side of the boat, and when he did, the Bible said a great fish swallowed him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 that it was a whale. So we'll take Jesus' word for that. Scientifically, they say the throat of a whale is too small to swallow a man. And every whale they've found since then is true, but not that one. That one swallowed Jonah. 3 days and 3 nights, he's in the whale's belly, Jonah chapter 2. And as soon as he awakens in the whale's belly and finds he's still alive, Jonah does some business with God. You would too. And he talks to the Lord, and then he gets right about it. And then the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 at the end, we'll look at it in a moment, that God spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out onto the shore. And he makes his journey. But as soon as he hits the shore, covered in whale vomit, having just gotten right with God, the God of the second chance stepped in. Now, I don't know about you this morning, dear friend, but this preacher would not be standing in this pulpit preaching that book without knowing the God of a second chance. You need to know him this morning. He's the God of a second chance. And if that's not sufficient, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. And I won't number all the lists for you today, but I'm telling you today, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, I looked that up in the Bible. You know that came to Abraham when he was on Mount Moriah with Isaac, and he's about to take Isaac's life, and the word of the Lord came unto Abraham the second time. That phrase is used over and over again. It's a pretty interesting people in the Bible where God came to them the second time and directed them the second time, and he gave them another chance. God is the God of a second chance. I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy in American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. About the age of 12, I walked out of the will of God. For 10 years, Mike Johnson did what Mike Johnson wanted to do. It's 10 of the most wasted years of my life. The age of 22, having just gotten out of the service, having asked Patricia Teal to marry me, to which she calmly replied, "I don't know." That's what she said, "I don't know." Miller Park, Sacramento, California, August of this, every August I think about this. I was going to get married, but I had my life in order, but God wasn't in the order of my life, and he wasn't ordering my life. We're sitting there on a park bench in Miller Park in Sacramento in August of 1975, and I looked at her and that beautiful blonde hair and those melt-your-heart hazel green eyes, and I said, "Patty, will you marry me?" And she looked at me and said, "I don't know." And that's how she said it. She didn't say, "I don't know," or "I don't know." She said, "I don't know. Like, you want a hamburger? I don't know." And I just looked at her and I thought, what in the world? I said, hey, I mean, you know, married. You know, Ward, June, the Beeve, White Picket Fence, you know, married." She goes, "Uh-huh." I said, "Will you marry me?" "I don't know." I just sit there. I didn't know what to do about that. A yes was the obvious answer. No was I talk her out of it, but I don't know what you do with "I don't know." And I just sat there on the bench for a while. And then, of course, you know how you ladies are. You're so sweet. "Are you okay?" "Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Real good. I'm in a good place right now in my life." "Well, you want to go home?" "Okay, sure." "Oh, you want to go home. Okay, all right, no problem." Yeah. Got in the car. My brother and his wife went with us and dropped her off. I told him I was going to pop the big question that night. Dropped her off at the house. Walked her up the front door. "Good night." She goes, "Are you sure, all right?" I go, "Yeah, sure. Yeah. Walked back and got in the car. Sat in the back seat. We got home. I stayed with my brother. He goes, "How'd it go?" And I go, "You ain't going to believe it." He goes, "Well?" And I said, "I asked her to marry me." She said, "What'd she say?" She said, "I don't know." He goes, "What?" I go, "Yeah, that's what I want to know. What?" He said, "Bud," and he's my older brother, Jack, 2 years older than me. He's always been my spiritual advisor so many times in my life. And I looked at him, I said, "Bud, what do I do?" And he looked at me and he said, "I don't know." I'm sick of hearing that, man. I'm telling you, I'm sick of hearing that. And he told me, "Your problem is you want her out of the will of God, out of the will of God for her to marry you. God's not going to let that happen." I went to my bed that night, August 1975, and I got right with God. 10 years. 10 years, I shamed the grace of God with stupid living and foolish living. And God let me come home that night. August 1975, 35 years ago, I met the God of a second chance. You need to know Him today. Jonah had his second chance, and God allowed him to be used and had God to do something with him in his life. Why is it that God is the God of a second chance? Because, well, first of all, He knows most of us are going to need it. And that's not a humorous statement, to be honest with you, but in reality, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." His call is for sinlessness and to not sin. But God says, but if it happens, here's what you do. Psalm 103 and 14 says, "He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are but dust," the Bible says. God knew what He got when He got us, ladies and gentlemen. That's bad English, but that's exactly what it means. Why would God give us a second chance? Because God knows most of us are going to need a second chance. He would give us a second chance because He's a God of mercy. He is. He's a God of wrath and judgment and righteousness and holiness. We'll say, well, which one is it, Pastor Johnson? Is He a God of judgment and wrath and holiness? Or is He a God of mercy and compassion? The answer is yes. He is both. Don't mistake one for the other one. Don't be foolish enough to think that all He is mercy and compassion and He'll just overlook everything in life. Don't be foolish to think that. But on the other side, don't think that because you have fallen and faltered in your life that there is no chance for you anymore. My friend, if you're breathing this morning, there is a God in heaven and He is the God of a second chance. In understanding this God of a second chance, we need to know this. Why does God give somebody a second chance? Everybody gets one, Pastor Johnson. No, they don't. No, they don't. Two kings in Israel's history. The first was King Saul and the second was King David. Saul was rejected by God. Rejected. He was told by God to kill the Amalekite people. Wipe them out as a nation. And Saul didn't do it. When he was confronted by Samuel the prophet, Saul kind of hem-hawed around about it. And God said, that's it. You're cut off. You can't be king anymore. David, on the other hand, the king who replaced him, David committed adultery with a man's wife and then had the man murdered to cover the fact that she became pregnant by David. And David was forgiven and he kept his place on the throne. Does that sound like somewhat a bit of injustice there? Saul's mistake was not following all of God's commandments. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Why would God give him a second chance and not the other guy? What you need to get, first of all, straight in your mind before you start questioning the justice of God, which is never wise, by the way, or questioning the way of God, which is never wise, by the way. Because if He has to answer your question with that kind of attitude, that means you think you're smarter than God, and that's not smart. But rather than ask the question, why does He let one have a second chance and not the other one? What you better understand is this. Not everybody gets a second chance. When I say He's the God of a second chance, I mean He's able. He's willing. He can do it. But He is God and determines who gets a second chance and who doesn't. No, not everyone gets a second chance. But why? Well, Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and preach against the city and he runs the other side of the world. By the way, don't be too hard on Jonah. God told you this morning He wanted you to go down to San Francisco and go to the Castro district and preach against homosexuality. I guarantee you wouldn't be loading the car today with cookies and heading south. If God told you to go to the capital of some wicked place in this world and told you to preach against their sin, I don't think you'd have the courage screwed up to run off to the other side and do what you were told either. So don't be too hard on Jonah. But he was told to do what he was, and he did say he would do it. And then he did try to run from God. The second chance Jonah received, that's chapter 3 and verse 1. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Here's why he got a second chance. Back up just a few verses into chapter 2. Jonah is in the belly of the whale and he is praying. And in Jonah chapter 2 in verse number 9, here's what Jonah says to God. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. In verse 1, chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now look at me. You know why he got a second chance? Because Jonah repented. Saul didn't repent. When he was confronted about what he did, all he was concerned about was how it looked in front of people. Oh, Samuel, Samuel, he said to the prophet, well, then come and step up with me so that it'll look good in front of the people. And then Saul tried to excuse himself and say, well, the people, they brought the sacrifice, and, you know, you weren't here, and it wasn't my fault, and I wasn't in a good place, and I wasn't in touch with my inner child, and I didn't feel good about myself, and blah, blah, blah. Saul excused himself. But when David was confronted about his sin, David said, I have sinned. He didn't say we either. He didn't blame Bathsheba. She was a part of that sin. But David blamed himself, and David repented, and David got a second chance. And Jonah's in the belly square, ladies and gentlemen. And when Jonah says, I'll do what I promise you, Lord, I'll do what you told me to do. I will pay that I have vowed. I promise you, I'll get right about this thing. When he did, God says, give him up, fish. It's time for this preacher to hit the road. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Yeah, he's the God of a second chance. I'm so thankful for that. But some today expect a second chance from God with no repentance. None. On your terms, your way, the way you want, when you want, the way you say it. You want to just go on and do what you're doing. You want to shack up, live that way, go on with your life. Cuss God, curse God, live a life that's so contrary to the Word of God. Live a life that so violates the Scriptures that it shames the Almighty God of heaven. But you want another chance. Excuse me. That's not a second chance, God. That would make God look like a fool and look like you're the boss and not God. That doesn't work. I guarantee you this, my friend. That man, that boy right there, Jonah, would be out there in the belly of that whale today if he didn't get right with God. You know why in the hot August night of 1975, God gave me a second chance? Because I told him I was sorry and I meant it. And it wasn't about getting, please listen carefully. It wasn't about getting my future bride to say yes. It wasn't a deal. I didn't do deals with God in August 1975. Now, Lord, if you give me this woman, I'll start going to church and, you know, do a couple of things. You look at me, pal. Don't you try let's make a deal with God. It doesn't work like that. That's not repentance. That's negotiation. We don't negotiate with God. We don't have him come meet me on my terms, my way. Jonah is in the whale's belly. It's time for Jonah to do business with God on God's terms. And all God's looking for is, all right, I'll do what I was told. Boom! God takes care of it. You got the God of a second chance. You see why God gives a second chance to people? He's not trying to exalt sin, and he's not trying to make bad look good. He's not overlooking anything that's wrong. David would have suffered all the consequences. And by the way, David did suffer consequences for his actions. Fourfold, as a matter of fact. He buried the baby they conceived. He had sons turn on him in rebellion. He had one son rape a daughter. David suffered horribly for his sin. But you listen now, but he got the second chance to go through the grace of God to get this thing worked out in his life because David said, I have sinned. He repented in his life. Now, friend, look at this preacher this morning. Time to stop fooling around about this business of how you live your life, expecting God to just play the big Santa Claus in the sky and drop all the opportunities you have in front of you. Excuse me, no. He's the God of a second chance. Now, look here. But I want you to get this picture this morning. Understand this. If you will honestly repent, he'll give you a second chance. Doesn't mean it removes all the consequences. Doesn't mean it removes everything that we've ever done. Doesn't mean it's just like spoofle dust. Poof, everything's gone that ever happened in my life. No, there's still a reaping sowing principle that has to take place. There'll still be a harvest of some things from the past, but he'll give you a second chance with grace. He'll give you a second chance with restored fellowship. He'll give you a second chance to get back on your feet and do what you're supposed to do. He is the God of a second chance. Saul would not repent, but David would. Most will get saved after hearing the gospel more than once. Do you know why? Because he's the God of a second chance. Because we hear that salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ and him alone. and it's only Christ. Whether it's contrary to your religion or not, the Bible is clear. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, that is salvation. Nothing else. We hear that, we hear it. We know we're lost. We know we need to trust Christ. We say no. And anything but a definite yes is a definite no to God. Why do you get another chance? Because He's the God of a second chance. But He is still waiting for repentance in your life. He's still waiting for you to turn from religion or whatever it is you're holding on to and turn to Christ and trust Him and get saved. Well, then I'll just hang on and see how it goes. Don't ever tempt the mercy of God. Most Christians will get a second chance in their life, but only after a heart of true repentance. To understand the God of a second chance, we must know this. What do you do with a second chance? We know why we get one, honest repentance. You know what you do with it? Well, there it is. Look in Jonah chapter 3. Now, verse 3. So he gets the second chance, second word. So verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city. Now, watch this statement. Of 3 days' journey. It took 3 days to get there. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He took a 3-day journey in 1 day. I think that's called hoofing it. Hitting it and getting it. Hey, where'd he stop and clean up? You mean to tell me he goes all the way to the capital city of the Assyrian people covered in whale vomit? Where's he stop and wash up, change his clothes, and get a Brooks Brothers suit and hit it? No, this guy covers a 3-day journey in 1 day. And it says, verse 4, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what you do with a second chance? You do exactly what you should be doing. You immediately get your ducks in order, friend. You immediately do what you should have been doing all along. No more delay. See, most Christians get that second chance, and then they blow it. You know why? Because they don't take the second chance God gives them. They get a second chance. They have an opportunity. Hey, folks, listen, from a whale's belly to dry ground, that's a jump up. I think they would call that in the hotel trade an improvement, an upgrade. And when Jonah hits the ground, remember what he did? You know how we get that foxhole religion? Now, Lord, if you'll get me out of this jam, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this and I'll do that. Jam is gone. All of a sudden we go, when I get around to it, when I feel like it, I got a problem right now. I got to get this straightened out. I got to wash my car. I got to go home and do this. I got to mow the lawn. And then after my vacation, when summertime's over and school starts, I'm blah, blah, blah. Jonah made a 3-day journey in 1 day. He immediately did what he was supposed to do. That's what you do with a second chance, friend. You get your ducks in order, you keep your ducks in order, and you do exactly what you know you should have been doing. Instead of all this stuff, well, there's just a lot of complicated things in my life. The reason your life's that complicated is because you're blowing your second chance, waiting and excusing yourself instead of doing what you need to do. Too many waste their second chance on delay. Or worse yet, the Bible says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. What a wonderful analogy. Since we're a little late for lunch, let me help you. A dog nibbles blades of grass in the backyard. If you didn't know what that was, he's upsetting his stomach. Because dogs lick themselves. And they collect hairballs in their stomach, which will not digest well. So they take certain blades of grass that they chew and swallow to make their stomach upset so they can vomit. And then those same dogs often will turn around and that which they have vomited, they will eat it again. Nobody's in a hurry for lunch now. Clam chowder for anyone? A little hash and eggs maybe? Did you ever walk out in the backyard and see it and go, man, that looks pretty good. I get a little cayenne pepper on that thing and a tortilla. Yeah, make it work. You ever watch a dog? And I'm not going to make you sick for a moment, but just stay with me. You ever watch a dog eat that and you go, no wonder you're a dog. That's disgusting. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about a pig washing, having been washed, returns to his wallowing in the mire. Look, you can get a pig clean as you want to. Wash him, scrub him, clean him up, put them little sick-looking bows in their head if you want to. Get them all nice and clean, do the 4-H thing where everybody marches around, talk about how nice they are, turn them loose. You know what they do. they find the cleanest spot they can and lay down gently. Right? No, they go over there and jump right in that stuff they've been laying in all this time because that's what they are. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are when we get a second chance and we turn around and go right back to the very thing God gave us a second chance to get out of, to get away from. People talk about relationships. Well, I seem to have the wrong kind of friends. Well, who made them a friend? Who chose them? Come on, friends don't kidnap you. They don't come put a gun to your head and say, you will be my friend. Those are not the kind of choice of friends you're looking for. Well, I was just in the car, and the next thing you know, well, who got in the car, man? Think about it. Who got in that business situation? Who made that relationship choice? We get out of that situation and turn right around and choose the same kind of people and get involved in the same kind of stuff. We get a second chance in life. I decided a long time ago, August 1975, by the grace of God, I'm not wasting any more time. I lost 10 years of my life, 10 years of my life in foolishness. By the grace of God, no more. Mm-mm. No, sir. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, no more. You know what you do with a second chance? You do what you should be doing. Jonah hit the ground. He didn't say, now where was I supposed to go? He knew where to go. Jonah hits the ground from the whale and he stands there and he says, well, I got to get cleaned up. And then, you know, I need a few classes to figure out what to do about the whale experience and how to get that out of my mind and my heart. And I don't know about that. I'm just having nightmares thinking about a whale and stuff and how I got to deal with that issue in my life and this and that. No. He made a 3-day journey and one day he hit the city and immediately began to preach. 40 days and God's going to kill this place off. Knew exactly what to do. Question. What are you doing this morning, friend, with the second chance God gave you in life? Because I guarantee you He has given you a second chance. You better run with it. You better take that second chance God has given you and you better step up to what God has given you, my friend, and stand to obedience to His Word. And then you become a testimony of what God can do with somebody to whom He gives a second chance. It's sad that we waste our time in our life. Sadder still as we keep on doing it. Well, Brother Johnson, you just don't understand how complex things are. No, I don't. Because in the Bible, God makes it clear. We're either dogs eating vomit, pigs wallowing in mire, or we're Jonah's headed for Nineveh, one or the other. And then you get a second chance. And then God can do something with your life. Do you know what happened in Jonah? The entire city of Jew-hating Assyrians repented from the king to the poorest man in the kingdom. Every one of them. The entire city repented before the God of heaven. And do you know what the God of the Syrian people, the capital, do you know what their God was? A fish god. And Jonah repented, he preached, they all repented, and God spared every life in that place. I suppose a God of a second chance could take and use your life again, huh? Oh, yes, He can. For most today, I hope and pray that you'll never need the God of a second chance. But for some of us this morning, and I would venture to say it's a good portion of this audience, we are the people of a second chance, yes? Don't waste it. Thank God for it. Let us stand to our feet, please, this morning.